Are you ready? If you're not down with that, we got two.
Well, if you've got arachnophobia, fear not, because if you open up this podcast, there will be no spiders, because this is the Two Words Podcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Love Thy Nerd's premier wrestling podcast. My name is John, and with me, as always, he's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy, he may not even be the guy, but he is a guy.
A guy?
He is.
Just a guy.
He is Radio Matt. Radio Matt, what's going on, man?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be a wrestling fan.
It's so good.
So good.
It's so good. And it's not, yeah, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the dawning of a new era.
It really does. It feels like almost a clean slate.
Yeah.
For WWE right now.
And we're actually going to be talking about what really started this new clean state, what kind of led into it, because mm-hmm. our two words are Roman's reign. We are going to be talking about the, was it 4 years?
Three and a half, yeah.
3.5 years that Roman Reigns was champion and all that it entailed, because I feel like you could talk about this forever. There mm-hmm. was so much that happened, good and bad, mm-hmm. That I think really changed the industry a lot. And we're going to be talking about that. And then we have a fun little game that I haven't told Radio Matt about in the middle here. But first, hey, yo, Finn Balor gave fans quite the scare on Sunday night when the Judgment Day leader tweeted out, "I would like to take a moment to say thank you to the WWE for 10 incredible years." He then added, after much thought and consideration, "I've decided that now is the right time to say, I ain't going nowhere." Mm-hmm. Kind of pulled a little bit of a swerve on us.
A little swerve.
Everybody got, but here's the thing, is like, it's easy to believe that Finn Balor would be like, I gotta leave now because I'm injured again.
Right.
I mean, also, the guy's made of popsicle sticks.
Also, he just hasn't been able to get that main event status.
Yeah.
Ever since being the very first Universal Champion.
Yeah.
For a day.
Yeah.
What a sad, the very first ever got to hold it for 20.
And now we just
hours.
Got, now we just got a guy who got done holding it for 1300 days. Like,
and it's essentially gone now.
Yeah. And it's done.
We don't call it Universal anymore.
Yeah. They've, good for the good on that. We don't yeah. call it Universal anymore. I'm
it's
glad
it's still called Undisputed. I don't understand why it shouldn't just be the WWE
yeah.
title now, but
it's just,
that's
it's,
fine.
Yeah.
It's a step in the right direction.
Because again, you combine the heavyweight and world in the WWE championship, and then you combine the Universal title, and then you introduced a heavyweight championship back.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's going on?
I don't know.
What's going on?
I do like that we're going into, you know, one show has the WWE titles and one show has the world titles.
Yeah.
It's a nice separation.
Good.
It doesn't have to be branded.
This is good.
That's good.
I love it.
What do you think of the new tag titles, the two different versions?
I think that they're great.
Mm-hmm.
I like the world titles a lot better.
The pizzas? The pizza titles? Is what you like?
No, it's not the...
Aren't those the red ones?
No, the world title... The pizza titles are the ones that R-Truth and Miz have on Raw.
Yeah.
The SmackDown titles are the world titles. They're the World Tag Team Championships.
I don't think that's right. Because Raw has the World Heavyweight and the World Women's. And SmackDown has the WWE ones. And that would be so confusing if they just swap around what's called what. But anyway, you like the blue brand ones better.
I love the blue brand.
They're very reminiscent of Attitude Era tag title belts, which I like.
Let's see. Just tell me what they're called.
Let's should say it on the belt. Look at the belt.
Oh, they're just the WWE Tag Team Champions.
The blue ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're just the WWE Tag Team Champions.
I mean, they're not even blue.
The other ones, the other one's the world.
The other ones are the world. Yeah. So the pizzas are the world.
Yeah. I love the Tag Team Champions.
I don't hate the pizzas either. It's just as soon as someone said they look like pizzas, that's all I can see. I like them so much better than the dime belts, though.
And it's weird. Yeah, yeah. And it's just weird to me that, like, this is the first time I've said that in a long time. Like, I actually like these titles.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. I've hated every title they've revealed.
Yeah, they've been pretty bad for a good while.
These are good, though. You're right. That is kind of pizza-ish.
Hey, yo. The Bloodline is about to grow again. Mike Johnson of PW Insider Elite reports.
Tama Tonga's pregnant.
Reports that former MLW star Jacob Fatu is expected to make his WWE debut within the week. I'm assuming possibly for the draft, but possibly even as early as this Friday's SmackDown. So we'll see. Fatu is the son of Sam Fatu, a.k.a. Tonga Kid, and is therefore a member of the Anoa'i Wrestling Dynasty. I kind of like the new Bloodline story direction that we're going.
I'm not hating it, and I like that it really has nothing to do with the Usos or Roman Reigns.
Right.
Like, this is good.
Yeah. And I love terrified Paul Heyman.
You know, and at first, I didn't really love, because it looked like they were trying to turn Solo Sikoa into Roman Reigns. Like, they were just trying to get him to adopt that character. I didn't love that at first, but it's growing on me.
Yeah.
It's
different.
You know. Yeah, I love Tama Tonga. I wish he'd bring back the crazy hair that he had in New Japan. But I think...
We'll see.
Tama Tonga showed up, and I was like, he looks like an action figure.
He does.
He really does. He looks like somebody, like, molded him out of marble. CM Punk, AEW released the CM Punk footage we talked about on the last podcast, and let's just say it was a nothing burger.
They
built it up. That's the most AEW I've watched in a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And they built it up, and they talked about it, and they did all this stuff, and then they showed it and was like, they shoved it. They were shoving each other.
They had a shoving match. CM Punk threw a punch that didn't connect, and then they got separated.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Yeah. That's what it was. It's like you just shoved him. And then everybody for the next 2 weeks pretended like this was the most revealing thing on planet Earth. Like, this was the craziest thing that had ever happened in all of AEW. And you're like,
when in reality, like, we had Tony Khan come out saying that he was fearing for his life.
Yeah.
That never before had he been fearful that he would lose his life in a moment. And we see what happened. And
which, look at CM Tony Punk Khan. That can't be
knocked
true.
Over a monitor in Tony Khan's direction. Like a computer screen monitor.
Yeah.
A flat monitor.
Yep.
And that was it. That was the fear.
They did that.
So, yeah.
You know, John Moxley said on his wife's podcast, The Sessions, we all know what it used to be called, though, says he's never seen so much drama in one place. I mean, there has been, like, you hear stories of WWE backstage, and it's like, this thing's got way worse. Yeah, I mean, like, fist fighting, like the old WCW story of Jericho putting Goldberg in an arm bar. Like, backstage, like, that was, you know, like, come on, guys, y'all made nothing. Y'all tried to make something out of nothing.
Yeah,
and it is dumb.
Y'all tried to make steak out of Salisbury here. All right, hey, yo, I got two here in order, unless you have another one.
I have one final one. We're good.
Okay, you want me to go then?
Yeah, go for it.
Broken Matt Hardy makes his return to TNA. But is that where he'll stay? Only a couple weeks after he became a free agent, Matt Hardy made his return to TNA Wrestling to close out Saturday night's Rebellion pay-per-view. Moose successfully defended the TNA World Championship against Nick Nemeth in the main event, and Hardy was revealed as the lights-out surprise following the match and his once-again broken persona. He laid out Moose and then held up the TNA World title. It was later announced that at Under Siege TNA Plus special on May 3rd, it'll be Matt Hardy and the tag team of Speedball Mountain versus the system of Moose, Brian Myers, and Eddie Edwards.
Speedball Mountain?
But how long will Matt Hardy be a part of TNA wrestling is unknown. The former WWE and AEW talent noted following Rebellion that he remains a free agent, even now. So he's not signed a contract with TNA.
Okay.
He said that joining TNA was set up only a few days before Rebellion and that he did it to keep the idea alive in the world that wrestling is unpredictable. However, hey yo, Matt Hardy might be on the way to WWE.
Ooh.
Rumors abound. Now, this is like a full 100% rumor speculation. But rumors abound that broken Matt Hardy may wind up being a part of the Uncle Howdy stable. On his podcast, Matt Hardy says that he has even pitched ideas for it. He never mentions who he pitched them to, but one of the ideas he had was to have Vanguard 1 become the vessel for the late Bray Wyatt. As a way of him continuing to lead the group. He even suggested using AI to give Bray a voice. This idea made his co-host visibly uncomfortable. discomfort.
This is Bo Dallas talking?
No, this is Matt Hardy talking. Matt Hardy talking. Podcast. I don't think that would be received very well, an AI Bray Wyatt. But I would love to see Broken Matt in the WWE again. He talked about his pitch in a way that sounded like he was talking to people planning it out, like the storyline out, which might have been a slip-up implying that he's already on the way to the Triple H era.
Okay.
Other heavily rumored members of Uncle Howdy's group are Alexa Bliss, Braun Strowman, and perhaps the strongest rumor, Eric Rowan, who recently had to cancel a bunch of appearances due to his new contractual obligations, quote-unquote. Time will tell, but that is a solid five scary nutbags for a fantastic stable, which is what the latest Nightbird clues imply will be the number of members in the stable.
But don't worry, as I said in the beginning of this podcast, there will be no spiders. So there even if Eric Rowan shows up, there will not be a giant spider
in a cage. The QR codes for this past Raw led to, a whole bunch of stuff. Pretty intricate clue thing, but essentially the page was www.com/5555555.
Okay.
And one of the clues that you could find is Penta with, you know, Pentagon, five sides. So another five reference.
It's a good shape to choose.
It is implying we're going to get the Wyatt 6 minus 1.
Okay.
So
okay.
I'm excited. I hope that is the lineup.
No, that would be fantastic. That sounds great. Because every single one of those guys is in the best shape of their life.
Mm-hmm.
Right now. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if Alexa Bliss probably is. She's like 22.
She's very young still.
She's
22, but she is very young.
I love that idea. I think that's great. Because I liked Deleter of Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
And I think that we got, because we had to get such a muted version of Woken Matt Hardy.
Woken.
When he was in WWE, we never got to get the full broken character.
Yeah.
And I think with Triple H now in charge, we could.
Here's what I really need, though, is I need someone to get Matt Hardy a dialect coach because his British accent is...
I love that.
Maybe it's intentionally
awful. I think it's intentionally bad.
But it is so bad.
Because I don't think it's supposed to be real. I think it's supposed to be clear that he is faking this accent.
So bad. I'd love to see Eric Rowan and Braun Strowman tagging together. It's just beef.
Mm-hmm. I miss Braun Strowman too. I miss Alexa Bliss. I miss Eric Rowan. I miss all three of them. I miss all of them. I would love to see them on TV every week.
It would be fantastic. Well, hey yo. Wrestling has more than one black champion, as Swerve Strickland won the AEW championship at AEW Dynasty.
Yep.
As you aforementioned, Moose is the current TNA World Heavyweight Champion,
mm-hmm.
And Cody Rhodes is married to Brandi Rhodes. So it's kind of a cool thing. And this is, you know, like nothing to do with the color of his skin though, because, but I was thinking about it. It's like AEW for all of its downfalls has had great champions.
I will agree with that.
Every time they put the belt on a guy, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't have done that, but dang, that's cool.
Now I understand.
Like MJF, Hangman Adam Page, John Moxley, now Swerve Strickland. And it's like, you know, and granted, you know, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but like, what have we gotten? Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
Like, for the longest time.
For forever. and so I would be excited to see more booking like that taking place in WWE. And I'm starting to understand, like, maybe that's why Tony Khan keeps being given Booker of the Year. They may just hate Triple H and Vince McMahon because it's an arbitrary award. It's kind of like Dave Meltzer's Stars. Like, there's no grading system. It's right. Just what he decides to give you that week. So who knows? But I'm cool because, like, even I'm thinking back. I'm like, I read the thing. And I was like, the guy from Hit Row. Like, Hit Row didn't last a week in the WWE.
All right.
They got to the main roster and were gone after I think it was 2 weeks. Hello. Not for like 2 weeks.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
So I don't know. But, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes. I like the AEW champions. I love the AEW championship.
It's still beautiful. It's such a beautiful belt.
It's a great belt. It's a fantastic belt. But anyway, well, moving on. I've got a little bit of surprise for Radio Matt. Right. Radio Matt has surprised me with some stuff before. And so I'm going to. Surprise Radio Matt. I have some scripts
here.
I'm
not sure I like being
on the other side. Some ChatGPT scripts.
Oh, okay.
AI has done some legwork for me. And I've got two superstars I want you to choose from. I'm not going to do this one because it's a little too short. We might pull it out in a minute. But and I'm going to let you choose, Matt, between these two superstars.
Okay.
John Cena or R-Truth.
That's a hard choice. That's a surprisingly hard choice.
Now, Doctor of Thugonomics, John Cena, specifically.
I guess I'll go with R-Truth.
Okay. So, this is, I've taken R-Truth theme song.
Oh, yeah.
And I've ran it through ChatGPT and asked it to rewrite the lyrics of his theme song in old-time Shakespearean.
Oh, gosh.
So, So Matt, there is yours, and this is John Cena's Doctor of Thugonomics, and I would just like you know, because I don't know, Matt, if you've ever done theater or anything, but you've done you've done monologues and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the more serious you take this, the better it's going to be.
I agree.
So either you can go first or I can go first, and then I have one more that I'll do after.
Am I supposed to be trying to sing this or am I?
No. Just as a monologue. Like in a play. Yeah, in a dialogue. Okay. This is
sorry, just the beginning of it. This hilarious. Is
What Ho by R-Truth. Read in Shakespeare.
Hail! That's him, right? Arise and declare, what tidings? What ho?
What ho?
What ho?
What ho?
Folk yonder, what say ye? If thou dost understand, arise and declare, what say ye? What ho?
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 Thou mayest choose this, or thou mayest choose that. But thou art better off with this, for this is where it doth abide. What ho?
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 I leap and bound and leave behind the competition, causing them to vanish like a skilled magician. I ride that mount until its wheels falter, and I jounce them successfully until their necks grow frail. Most oft when thou dost spy me, I seek simplicity. These are the sort who may burst forth like a pustule, stating my claim to renown, to be amongst the most formidable souls to tread this field, and yet yet. I've scarcely begun. But rest assured, I shall seize it with a certainty. What ho!
What ho!
What ho!
What ho!
What ho!
What ho!
That might be my favorite thing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, that was even better than I thought it was going to be. I originally wanted to try Billy Gunn's theme, but it would have been just a little too much.
Yep. My favorite line there is, these are the sword who may burst forth like a pustule. What is the lyric for that?
I don't know.
I need to look it up.
Oh. All right. So that was R-Truth's theme. It was a good rap.
It's good.
This would be John Cena's Doctor of Thugonomics.
So it's the main one.
It's the main. It's the one he had. Oh, when he was pop like the a pimple. Gang.
Okay, these are the pop type of people to get pop like a pimple.
Pop like a pimple. That's it.
All right. I'm sorry. Which one is this one?
This is Doctor of Thugonomics. Okay. This is the chain gang one that he did. I might go a different direction than you did.
Okay.
We'll see how it goes.
Are you gonna
we'll
go like a soft?
Maybe more like a sonnet kind of thing. Yeah.
Cool.
Hark! Dost thou deem thyself untouchable? Word life, this is thine basic thugonomics. This is the basic thugonomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, yet I compel thee to feel me. Word life, this is basic thugonomics. Word life, I'm untouchable, yet I compel thee to feel me. In combat or in speech, my discipline is stern, forcing thee to retreat in a defensive turn. An anthem of strife for giants or for small, holding realms for ransom, thy phantom of the brawl. Teams fall before us as they enter the fray. Like a shattered needle, thou missest the way. We dominate thy realm with thy unyielding force as our anthem resounds, calling for resource. We strife swiftly with mighty blows, evading nightclubs in bare-knuckle contests, leaving thee in shambles thou shalt not endure, like memories in decline. Two-faced minstrels depart with marks of four thus aligned. The raw wordsmith turning legends to shadows, thy words pierce like serpents, rendering through thy shallow boasts. Behold, new dead man ink, poised for glory. Conquering earth, our renown spreads, writ in story.
It's beautiful.
I mean,
what's the third one you got?
The third one I have is Shawn Michaels' Sexy Boy.
Oh, gosh. Can I read it?
You want to read it? Yeah.
I gotta do it. Hold on.
This is fantastic.
Okay. All right.
It's a little bit shorter, but so.
I don't know if I can.
Take your time.
The chorus is so bad. Oh, man.
Take your time.
I deem myself fair. I know I'm comely. I possess the visage that drives maidens to madness. I possess the grace that truly captivates them. I evoke shivers from head to toe. I'm merely a winsome lad. I'm not thy plaything. I'm merely a winsome lad. I'm not thy plaything. I kindle their ardor. I provoke tremors. Their knees grow feeble whenever I draw near. They observe my stride. They attend my discourse. I elicit sensations as if they float on air. I am merely a winsome lad.
Winsome.
That's fantastic. These are so good.
You did that like James Mason.
James Mason.
James Mason.
I'm merely a winsome lad. That is my favorite thing.
Untouchable, yet I compel thee to feel me.
That's the favorite, my favorite thing we've ever done with ChatGPT.
It's the best. AI is the best.
Whoa!
It's my favorite thing to think, like, several years ago we were so terrified of AI,
mm-hmm.
and now we're, like, using it for this. And other stuff that I probably shouldn't talk about. I was biased. This is hilarious, though.
So funny.
This is my favorite. Well, moving on to something maybe a little more serious, but probably not too serious. Brings us to our two words, Roman's Reign. In August of 2020, Roman Reigns returned at SummerSlam after battling leukemia and attacked the new Universal Champion, The Fiend.
Yeah.
The following SmackDown, Reigns aligned himself with new manager, WWE Hall of Famer Paul Heyman. On August 30th at Payback, that's not true.
What do you mean? That's what I have.
I had to correct my notes about something.
Got it.
And then I thought, anyway, at August 30th at Payback, which I forgot that they did Payback 7 days after SummerSlam that year.
Yeah.
It was just the weirdest thing. And August 30th on Payback, Reigns defeated The Fiend and Braun Strowman for the Universal Championship. Just under 2 years later, on April 2nd of 2022, Reigns would defeat Brock Lesnar in a winner-take-all champion versus champion match at WrestleMania 38. Over 1,316 days, Reigns would rise to stardom, becoming the face of the WWE, making this not only a defining moment in his career, but a defining moment in the WWE, a defining era in the WWE. This is not something we're ever going to see again.
Yeah.
We might see it in like 20 years.
Yeah. Like it's going to be.
And they will make it a big deal.
Yeah, for them to even try to redo this, there's got to be a massive stretch of time.
What are your initial thoughts about the whole thing? I mean, coming to an end at WrestleMania 40, being defeated by Cody Rhodes, and, you know, I know I just asked you this question. I'm going to answer it myself, but, you know, every single time Roman Reigns defended, we were like, get this title off of him. And now that I look back and I'm like, oh, this was the perfect, there was no better way to take this title off of him. Like, yeah. This is the best way. This is smart, long-term booking. I don't know if they thought this was what it was going to be when it started.
Right.
But do you realize that Roman Reigns was Universal Champion when Biggie Langston was WWE champion?
Mm-hmm.
We in the Two Words podcast have never known a time when Roman Reigns was not Universal Champion. I think we knew about 7 days and then like the next week.
Right. I mean, the match that you just started with when he won it against The Fiend and Braun Strowman, this was the first run of The Fiend, and then Bray Wyatt got fired for like a year.
Yeah.
And then he came back for a few months and then he was gone for the rest. I mean, he's been champion through several generations of storyline.
Yeah.
Where a lot of these opponents that are on the list of people that he's faced aren't even in the WWE anymore or not wrestling. Big E, of course, one of them, he can't wrestle anymore. Daniel Bryan is on this list. Cesaro is on this list.
You forget about Cesaro.
It's been so long. since they've been in WWE, like it's such a, this is almost the full length of Stone Cold's main run, you know, when he was the big dog.
Yeah, he was only the big dog for like 5 years,
right?
Yeah,
and this is just a part of Roman Reigns' career, which is crazy. He's had more WrestleMania main events as the champion in this run than he did prior. And prior, we were sick of him having Mania events.
Yeah.
Main events. Because they were always against Brock Lesnar.
Always against Brock.
The one time that he had a really good match, it was because Seth Rollins came in and cashed in and won it off of him. That's what made that one so special. But, I mean, it's been incredibly long. And I think you're absolutely right, is that even though there were times where, like,
we gotta get
enough. Or to the point where it's like, really, I kind of felt like that this whole last year. It's like we knew Cody was going to be the one to take it off. Mm-hmm. And so when he didn't do it at WrestleMania 39, we're like, okay, well, we know Roman Reigns is not going to lose this entire year.
Yeah.
And so every match that he had, which weren't many, but every match that he had, we're like, okay, well, we know who's going to win. There was no wondering, you know, is it possible if the other person's going to win? It was more just like, all right, how is Roman going to win?
Yeah.
Which I think one of the things that a lot of us complained about was that he didn't defend his title all that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that was the smart move. Because if he was defending it every pay-per-view,
yeah,
or more often than that, it would become really, really clear that this is the same match story over and over again.
Yeah. And, I mean, you know, that was the way it was. You know, you look at the long-term champions before, you know, Bruno Sammartino having it for however many years he had it, and, you know, Bob Backlund having it for all that time. They didn't wrestle all that much either. And right. That was one of the things Hulk Hogan, you know, brought up one time. He's like, you know, champion didn't even show up on TV when we were, you know, when mm-hmm. we started. Like, you showed up at pay-per-views because that's where they wanted to see you. You didn't wrestle on TV.
Right.
You weren't wasting your time doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah, there wasn't fatigue of seeing the person.
And what I think is most interesting, because there was a point where we realized this was really turning into something, and you bring up WrestleMania 31, WrestleMania 31.
That was 31, yeah, with Seth Rollins.
Until you said something, I forgot he was in that match.
Right.
I forgot that this guy was in one of the most magical moments in recent WWE history. And now it's like, how did we forget this guy?
Right.
You know, that's the kind of change that we've seen. That's what we've developed. It was there a point which you realized, like, oh, this is taken off.
100%. It was very early on. It was Hell in a Cell, October 25th, 2020, where he was facing Jey Uso in the Hell in a Cell I Quit match for the title. And that was how it, where the what, at the end, when Jimmy had come in to try and, you know, save his brother from getting beaten, and Roman went full cinema, breaking down, crying in the ring, saying, I don't understand what's going on with me lately, man, you know, just all this, only to turn and, crying in the ring.
Oh, my gosh.
In front of his two cousins, which is something I don't think we've ever seen in a main event match. the champions.
Not in Hell in a Cell.
As the way to trick the opponents.
Yeah.
And I just remember seeing that going. My reaction, I believe, after that on Twitter was like, I don't think I've ever been more compelled by the storytelling.
Yeah.
In a match before, and I can't believe it's Roman Reigns that's Roman evoking Reigns these emotions. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also barely cared about the Usos up until this point, and that match made me care about them.
I cared a lot more about them before they were doing, like, the Usos penitentiary business. Mm-hmm.
You like Samoan Usos?
I liked Samoan Usos. Yeah. That's not racist. Whatever.
Well, I said I was doing Rey Mysterio thing.
So it definitely is. I almost say, I'd have to say the same thing. Like, that moment where, you know, that kind of string, especially after that, mm-hmm. more after that for me, it was like, you know, he had turned the Usos kind of into his whipping boys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, slowly changing them into, you know, being on his side, and then, you know, but there was always that, that kind of wonder from Jay, like, I'm still not 100% sold on this. I mean, even Sami Zayn being brought into the whole thing, like the honorary Oos business, it was fantastic. And then the ending to that, I mean, you had a great storyline in the middle of this thing. Like,
the Sami Zayn storyline is my favorite of the whole bit.
Yeah.
I think that was so well told. You saw so much, again, cinema in this. Having to earn the respect of, was it Jay or Jimmy now? I can't remember. That didn't want him in the group for the longest time.
I think it was Jimmy.
Was it Jimmy? And then finally earning that spot. The comedy that he brought to it. He's not feeling very oosy right now. Starting this whole thing, making Roman Reigns break on TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all of that leading up to how it ended was just so beautifully told. Again, several of the endings of those pay-per-views that he was involved in. Edge of my freaking seat. More excited than I've been since, you know, a teenager when I first started watching.
Yeah.
Like, just so well done. Of all the complaints that we have about Vince McMahon's, you know, booking during this time, the Bloodline storyline's probably the best thing he's done.
Oh yeah,
in this era of his run.
Yeah, and it started all during the pandemic.
Yeah,
like we were in the Thunderdome.
Yeah, for a while still.
Which is again, it's insane. To think, like, you got over in the Thunderdome, you know, that's amazing.
It was all the way up till WrestleMania 37, wasn't it? Like, because I'm looking at the match list here, and he had two matches against Daniel Bryan before that. And then the Royal Rumbles when he had in 2021 was when he had that last man standing match against Kevin Owens, which was a fun match, but it had that botchy ending. That was where he got handcuffed.
That was before the Royal Rumble. Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Yeah. That is the clear-cut worst moment of this
whole
thing. That
was bad. He got handcuffed to the thing, so he couldn't get up. But they couldn't get the freaking handcuffs off.
But they couldn't get the handcuffs off. And I think the worst part of it is nobody, clearly nobody knew what to do.
Right.
Because
the ref was already counting.
The ref was counting, and then he just stopped.
He had to stop counting. And then Roman Reigns had to get up on his feet and, like, crouch. So technically he's on his feet.
Yeah.
But he was still stuck there for what felt like a solid 3-4 minutes of them fiddling with this thing.
They didn't even try. With like, Paul Heyman could have, like, punched the ref in the face or something.
Right.
You know, like,
they had no plan B for that situation.
They just decided, I'll just stop counting. Like, Earl Hebner would have done this to us. Earl Hebner was in that match, we wouldn't be talking about Roman Reigns right now. I'll tell you that much. I'll tell you that right now. But what do you think is next for Roman Reigns? I guess that's really the ultimate question here. What do you think is next for Roman Reigns? Obviously, he's taking some time off. I wouldn't expect to see him back until probably Royal Rumble.
No, he'll be back before SummerSlam.
You think?
He's already been advertised for the SmackDown directly before SummerSlam.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll be in SummerSlam, per se, or if it's just going to be a build-up to something happening there. A swerve at the last second. But, I don't know. I feel like we're building to infighting among the Bloodline, a kind of leadership thing. I do feel like they're still going to be building to a Rock versus Roman, who's really the head of the table kind of thing.
Soon we can do that.
I think that's next for him.
Let me just throw something out. Just came right to the old noodle. This is me shooting from the hip. I haven't even thought about this until just now.
Got it.
We wait until Survivor Series. You can show up at SummerSlam. That's fine. We wait until Survivor Series. And in this time, Solo Sikoa builds up his version of the Bloodline. Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, whatever. And Roman Reigns comes back and is like, hey, I'm the head of the table, brother. Like, this was my yard long before you even showed up. And he recruits Jimmy and Jay, you know, hey, I'm sorry for what happened, but it's family now. Like, we got to figure this out. And Survivor Series is Battle of the Bloodlines.
We could do that.
Simple. It's easy. It's clean. It's beautiful.
It's nice.
It doesn't have to take up championship belts.
Right.
And we don't have to do this dumb Raw versus SmackDown bit that is never entertaining.
Where suddenly all of the people that are fighting each other on SmackDown are now on the same team and they like each other for a little while.
But they kind of don't.
Because they hate the other guy.
But they also do.
No, I feel like clearly Roman Reigns is going to have another title reign for a while, but they're not going to try and do the same thing again.
I'm looking for Rock and Roman. I am.
Rock and Roman is now that we have accomplished what needed to be accomplished at WrestleMania 40 with the perfect ending to the whole story, Cody's story and
the Roman Reigns' story,
reign of the Bloodline story. I really want Rock and Roman now.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want it for WrestleMania 40 at all. I want it now.
He is such a better in-ring performer than he was.
Mm-hmm.
And such a more compelling character.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, really, you just kind of have to give all credit where credit is due. Paul Heyman's a genius.
Agreed.
Like, 100%. Paul Heyman made Roman Reigns into an international superstar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm almost 100% certain when he comes back, which there likely will be a feud with Solo Sikoa, Roman's going to be a face again. And I
can see that.
This is going to be his opportunity to prove, now I can do this right.
Yeah.
As a face.
Yeah.
You didn't like me as a face before, but I've grown so much in presentation and all this. I can be a face. I can be the guy.
Not a good guy, not a bad guy.
The right way.
The guy, you know what I mean?
But I mean, people love Roman.
They do.
I mean, they were chanting over Cody Rhodes on Raw.
And that's the thing, it's like Vince McMahon tried so hard to make us like Roman.
To force it, yeah.
I mean, he tried so hard to make us like Roman. And then Triple H and Paul Heyman were like, oh, we can definitely do what you can't. And we can make him, and they did. Like, they accomplished what the initial goal with Roman Reigns was always going to be. You know, you go back and watch the old Shield stuff. Roman was never going to be the guy out of that group.
I never, of the three when they were first there,
he was
number three.
He was. Might have been number four behind Ryback.
Kurt Angle was above him, the level of the Shield. I really didn't see when the Shield was there that he was going to be the breakout.
Yeah.
And I was right, because they tried to force him to be the breakout.
Yeah.
He was not, and nobody wanted it, and everyone was tired of it. Gosh, I still remember just that. To go from that all-time low point at that Royal Rumble, I don't even remember what year it is now, where no one wanted him to win.
Where he got booed out of the building.
They had to bring the Rock
out. In Philadelphia!
Yeah. Planned already in advance. They knew no one was going to be happy. Planned already in advance to bring the Rock out to raise his hand.
Yeah.
And even the Rock was booed. They were both booed to death. Rock's face went from, like, pride to, huh?
They're booing me?
How is this? Like, that was such a genuine reaction.
I don't think I've ever really thought about that. Like, how beautiful that really is. How he got booed out of the building in Philadelphia at the Royal Rumble. And,
yeah,
like, to get the reaction that he got in Philadelphia and WrestleMania, like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm excited for whatever Roman Reigns got going on. I'm excited for, like we said, we've been talking about it. Very, very excited for what's going on in wrestling, all of professional wrestling. I mean, even the smaller promotions are doing some great stuff. And so this is really the best time. And you know that it's a great time, as long as Pat McAfee sticks around, I think. Because what I didn't bring, what I forgot, I was just thinking about is, I don't know if you heard what he said about Dominic Mysterio.
No.
Dominic Mysterio, they were having some match on Raw, and Michael Cole was like, oh, Dominic Mysterio, you know, being a backstabber, just like he does. And Pat McAfee responds with, I'm going to wait till you finish drinking.
Go ahead.
He goes, Dominic Mysterio is like a dude wipe after it's been used.
Oh, I did hear that.
And I cannot tell you how great that line is.
I heard it not live. I saw, because, you know, Michael Cole's been setting up his phone recording as they're announcing it for TikToks.
We don't talk nearly enough about the quickness of the Puma.
But just seeing Michael Cole's reaction to that, which he can't do on the mic, but he's just sitting there trying to hold in his laughter.
It was like so
a dude
good.
Wipe after it's already been used.
And Roman Reigns has gone from being like a dude wipe after it's been used to being the first one out of a fresh pack. Great.
Have you used one before?
I have never used a
they
dude
are
wipe.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's like a little towel. It's thick.
Is it? Good. Man, let's talk.
You could do a whole hobo shower with one of those. If you're traveling, if you're on a plane all day, and you need to take a break in between flights and clean up, you could get your whole, every bit. Really? Every bit good. Of you.
I may have to try those. I may have to try something like
your
that.
Your bits and your pits, all taken care of.
Just... I don't know.
That's their new slogan.
Bits and your pits, all taken care of. Well, we're very, very excited, and we hope that you guys are excited, because we got a lot more coming with the Two Words Podcast this season. A little bit more coming.
We got a couple more episodes.
I don't know how many more episodes. I don't pay attention. I just stop showing up when he tells me to stop showing up. That's the rules. That's how we do things. So, we'll be back in a couple of weeks, and until then, my name is John. His name is Matt. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. What hope?